This is Blair Durham with Black Wall Street Today, your media hub for all things Black business and related news, strategy, and events. Greetings, greetings, and thank you for tuning in to Black Wall Street Today with Blair Durham. So excited to be your host as always and having dynamic conversations about business. Really, business is intertwined with every aspect of our lives, and so today's show is no different. I'm excited for sure about what you're going to take away. Our guest for today, his name is Ian Buchanan, and he has a company called Nia Education Group. Mr. Buchanan is a native of East St. Louis, Illinois. He's committed to servant leadership and interrupting inequity. Dr. Buchanan serves as CEO of Nia Education Group, where he serves as a coach and a consultant, and really leads a group of coaches and consultants that are dedicated to helping great leaders become their greatest leadership selves. In addition, I'm certainly looking forward to a conversation about Ian's book. He's authored a book called King, which provides a four-part leadership framework for Black men. Prior to founding Nia Education Group, Dr. Ian served as the Assistant Superintendent of Curriculum and Instruction, or the Chief Academic Officer, in the School District of University City, Missouri. Before his five-year tenure in University City, Buchanan served as Founding Director of Strategic Partnerships for the Achievement School District there in Memphis, Tennessee. It was a state-sponsored all-charter school. Also during his tenure, Dr. Buchanan served as founding managing director of the Parent Leadership and Advocacy Institute. It's a nonprofit organization committed to empowering parents to influence change. He also played an influential role in the development of the nationally acclaimed Memphis Lift, a self-described powerful parent organization. Over a span of more than two decades, Ian has served in a number of teaching roles at the K-12, adult basic education, undergraduate, and graduate level. So really a breadth of experience there. And he's also spent more than a decade in school leadership roles at the elementary and middle school levels. Along with the K-12 teaching and leadership experience, Buchanan also has served as an HBCU admissions officer, a National Science Foundation fellow, and Teach for America's managing director. Ian, as you can imagine, has received numerous awards and recognitions, including the Missouri Association of Secondary School Principals Consummate Professional of the Year Award, the St. Louis American Salute to Excellence in Education Award, and the Teach for America Principal of the Year Award. He's highly regarded around the country for his passion and commitment to empowering our communities. Ian and his wife, Carmen, have one daughter, Nia, who is an HBCU graduate and educator. Welcome to the platform, Dr. Buchanan. It's a pleasure having you. How are you today?
Oh, wow. I'm doing wonderful. That was a lot.
That was a lot. You know, and I went back and forth, Dr. Buchanan. Do I really share his entire bio? Do I just kind of pull some snippets from it? But I think it's important sometimes to hear and understand the breadth of what a person has done before you kind of go into an interview. So I thank you for sitting through that. I know how painful that can be from the other side. Well, I'm curious to know, you know, I'm someone who kind of has a background in this counseling space. I've done some work creating programs for parents and things like that. And so I feel like I get fundamentally where you're coming from with a lot of your career experience, the work that you do. I'd love to know kind of how has that background really begun to influence your commitment to servant leadership, and particularly this piece around interrupting inequity. How do we get there?
Yeah, so good question. Thank you for inviting me in to have this conversation, and let's go ahead and jump on in. So, if I understand your question correctly, you were asking about sort of the parent piece, and then also how do we interrupt inequity?
Yeah, and how did your background kind of get you to where you are now with this work that you're doing?
Absolutely, absolutely. Very good question. So I am from, again, as the bio indicated, I'm from a very small community in East St. St. Louis, Illinois. And anybody who knows the Midwest, they understand that, or at least there's this narrative that, you know, we talk about troubling narratives. We talk about the danger of a single story. Mm. So East St. Louis was described in a book called Savage Inequalities, which was a canon in the education space, especially in the 90s. And so East St. Louis was described as a scar of sorts, an ugly metaphor of chemicals and filth and effusions, a place for blacks to live and die within, a place for whites to pass when they are traveling to St. Louis. Mm. So I say that because my community is an example of the inequity that exists in the United States, especially as it relates to black, brown, and people of low income. And so when I graduated from high school and went to a PWI that had about 24,000 individuals, I realized early on that I was grossly underprepared for the rigors of college. And so that was the first time when inequity just smacked me in the face. When I realized that so many of my white and or affluent peers had so much background and so much experience and were better prepared than I was. And so those kinds of experiences leave a bad taste in your mouth. And they should make you angry enough that you actually want to do something about it. And so my experience with inequity started there. And then I think just my movement around the professional world helped me decide that not only do I want to focus on, some of the things that I've done in education, but very specifically, I want to make sure that much of my work is targeted towards black folks and other folks who are underrepresented and under-resourced.
Yeah, I love that. I want to ask this question too, and this is, I'm asking for a friend, right? Yeah. I'm curious to know about the PhD. I think I have a grasp on the ways in which it prepares you. I think I understand kind of the journey, right, to becoming credentialed at that level. But how important is the PhD in terms of the landscape where you work, the environment? How important is it in terms of just kind of setting the tone when you walk into a room, when you're looking to affect change at the level that you operate?
Yeah, so on the ground floor, I think it gives you a basic level of credibility, a certain level of street cred. It says that it implies that there's a certain level of scholarship, expertise, and experience.
Sure.
I think for me, the work is bigger than the PhD. It really, from my perspective, it really is about your dissertation topic and how that topic can help you to impact, to broaden and deepen your impact. So my research was around a couple things: literacy, hip hop culture, and the experiences and the schooling experiences of black of black men of color, mm-hmm. of black men. I'm sorry. And so that gave me an opportunity to understand that there's a lane that needs to be attended to more intently and more deliberately. So for me, it just helped me understand that this connection between black boys, school, hip-hop culture, the ways that we define masculinity, and the characteristics of teachers who help those kinds of students thrive was super important to me. And so it really has informed a great chunk of the work that I do.
And is your book King an outgrowth of your dissertation, or did you write it before, or when did that come along?
So I didn't write it before, although most people who know me know that black boys and black men have always been a passion of mine. So the book came across, so as you read the bio, I'm thinking that somebody probably was listening and was trying to calculate, well, how old is this guy? Quite a bit. And I'm 21 years old.
Got it.
but the book came about because I realized that I was no longer the young gun in these professional spaces. I had actually become up.
Mm.
Yeah, so I embraced that what it means to be an unk in this game, what it means to be an elder, what it means to be a veteran. And so given all of that, what happened is I walked into a space for about 50 black male leaders in the education world. And out of the 50, I was probably the oldest or the next to oldest in the room. And so just so happened, again, I'm a big hip-hop culture person, and so when I got into my car, I immediately heard a song by Nas called One Mic. And the song really talks about if you have one mic, one opportunity to say something to the world, to impact the world, to influence the world, what would you do or what would you say? And so given the fact that I'm the old head now, given the fact that, hey, I do have one mic and I can use it, I have some agency, that is really how the book came about.
I love it. So now that we understand that, it helped me to appreciate what that framework looks like. I'm on my way into the station today. I was having a conversation with someone I consider to be a dear friend, a lifelong friend. And, you know, she's kind of describing some of the woes, the relationship that she's in, you know, and my brain kind of goes back to, you know, who are we as people? You know, I think about it from an anthropological perspective. How do we get to this place? You know, what are all the factors that we need to be considering as we're entering into these relationships? So I want to hear from you. What is the framework?
Yep. So the framework, teachers love to use, I think they call them acronyms. And so K is Know the King Within. So how do we ensure that this intrapersonal work is done first? How do we self-examine? How do we explore our strengths, which we can really see, or others can inform us? Our superpowers, which many times we really don't see, our technical competencies, and equally as important, how do we unearth and confront our self-saboteurs?
You're listening to the Black Wall Street Today with Blair Durham podcast. I'm the producer, Seiko Varner from Positive Vibes. So we would love for you to do a few things. Like this episode, you're going to like it anyway. Share this episode, it's worth sharing. And tell other people about the podcast. Sharing is caring. Let's all get wealthy.
How do we confront all of the ways that we're in our own way? And we also help leaders really dive into issues around imposter syndrome and all of those kinds of things as well. So the first step is knowing the king within, this issue around self-awareness.
That's good.
You know that emotional intelligence is important, and one of the fundamental pieces of emotional intelligence is self-awareness. So that's the first step.
Okay.
And so second part is inspiring others for collective greatness, or collective impact, I'm sorry. And so this is around how do we intentionally align ourselves in a way that slashes the tires of white supremacy and other forms of xenophobia. So what are the strategies that we can use to coach, challenge, develop, mentor, support others so they can be able to inspire and influence the world in a way that is not just about the individual, but is about, again, slashing the tires of white supremacy and other forms of inequity. And it's navigate to the north. So how do we move? How do we lead? How do we navigate ourselves in this world aligned to a set of values, beliefs, mission, vision, values, and goals? So how do we move in a way that is towards our North Star? And then the last is G. So how do we gravitate to the great? How do we surround ourselves around individuals who can inspire, who can challenge, who can help us grow, who we can also share and help grow as well? So it's really about this notion of iron sharpening iron.
I missed the N. How did I miss it?
N. So say that one more time.
I missed the N. I got know the king within, inspire others for collective impact. Navigate to the north. Okay.
Yeah, navigate to the north. Sorry about that. Navigate to the north. So how do we move in a way that, again, is leading us towards our North Star, or is aligned to our North Star?
Yes.
In the book,
I feel like this framework is great for men and women.
For anybody. It's actually for anyone. And there are so many women who have read the book and who have given me that same feedback.
It's just a great framework. It really is, in terms of the human psyche and impact and all the things you spoke about. Okay. Kudos, man. I'm excited to hopefully order a copy and learn even more. So I think about this. Well, actually, if you've just tuned in, this is Black Wall Street Today with Blair Durham, having a phenomenal interview with Dr. Ian Buchanan, who is an industry leader as it relates to education, as well as leadership consulting. And so I want to ask this question, right? I think about, and my husband is a high school English teacher, right? I think about the experience that he's having. I think about folks that I know that have gone from, you know, working sort of in the classroom, they've gone to administration of the building, and they've gone, quote unquote, downtown, right? And they're thinking about how they can get even further away to teaching in college, right? And there's always this sort of movement through education. But I definitely consider the work that you're doing more of a full circle work. You want to leverage all of this expertise to then have an impact on the community, you know, that needs it most, right? So can you talk about how your experience as assistant superintendent of curriculum instruction and director of strategic partnerships, like how did these roles shape your perspective on education and specifically what that parental involvement needs to look like?
Yeah, so I'll talk about the chief academic officer role first.
Mm-hmm.
I think you know, out of all of the quote unquote downtown roles in school districts,
mm-hmm.
the chief academic officer role is the role that is least occupied by Black men.
Mm.
We are we're CFOs, we are chief operations officers, we are social emotional leaders, we are HR leaders, but there are very few of us who really lead the academic component of a school district.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to be in that role because I knew this is a space where our voices really are not, or our leadership really is not very much present. And so, but it really taught me a couple things. One, it really taught me or helped me understand the dire need for us to improve literacy education in our country.
Yeah.
So I think one is just really this hyper-focus on literacy. It also taught me or helped me understand the importance of experiences. And so one of the ways that we build capacity with kids and we help kids grow and learn is by increasing the number of experiences that they have outside of the classroom. And now they could be in the classroom, it could actually be virtual.
Sure.
So also emphasize just this importance of connecting students to the world outside of the classroom. And then the other piece is how do we work along with families and with agencies to ensure that students and families have the wraparound supports that they need, which was part of my role in Memphis. So kind of going to this strategic partnership role, that role really helped me understand the gaps between what students have versus what they need, what parents and caregivers have versus what they need, and very strategic ways to connect the resources to the needs and to ensure that, to have the data to say that these resources are really working. These extra tutoring programs are really working. These therapeutic services are really working. These after-school sports activities are really working. So it really taught me, first of all, the types of supports that we really need, and then secondly, being very clear about making sure that the supports and the wraparound services actually make an impact and are not just looking good and sounding good and feeling good.
Yeah, major. Okay. So let's go here then. I'm in wholehearted agreement. The various programs, the Memphis Lift, there's another that was described there. I want to get to the heart of how parents are engaging in terms of these associations or organizations. Are they coming online to kind of be educated, and then it's about how they activate in their homes? Or what really is the basis of that work?
Yes, so I think it's a couple of things. I think it's one, awareness. So a clear awareness of the educational landscape and the current reality in various schools and in various school districts. So one is awareness. So ensuring that families are first aware of performance measures, how to understand district performance data, how decisions are made in the school. So all of those kinds of awareness issues, what kinds of programs are available. So, and by the way, these parent groups should be comprised of parents and caregivers of not just the most empowered families, but families who are encountering some of the challenges that come along with being in some of our communities. So again, I think the first part is awareness, and then the next part is how do we help to equip parents with the techniques, the strategies, the skills, the relationships, the networks, so they can advocate for equity.
Yeah,
and so
that's huge.
What this work was about. It was really about how do we, first of all, help parents understand the good, the bad, the ugly of this education ecosystem, and how their kids are impacted, or how their communities are impacted, or how they're impacted. And then the other part is, how do we empower parents to impact and influence change in a more meaningful, deeper, sustainable way?
I'm going to have to talk with you offline, because I want to go down a rabbit hole with you. I've seen it work both ways. You know, I've seen teachers kind of be taken advantage of. You know, I was like, okay, you know, I'm empowered, and therefore I really don't have to do any work. You know, that doesn't feel like the solution either. But I think I can appreciate what you're saying in terms of, you know, making sure folks do understand systems and they do feel like they have access to be able to make an impact there for their students. So I get that.
Yep.
Great work. Yep. I want
to... And to be honest, our model was sort of based off of organizations like the Highlander Society,
okay,
Tennessee, which many of us know was really a developmental mecca for the civil rights, for many civil rights activists and folks doing the work. And so our goal really was to help to create and to nurture anti-racist, anti-oppression advocates who didn't take no edge.
Yeah, I love it. Well, I wanna end really the conversation by focusing on the work that you do to support leaders, and particularly this around helping them to become their greatest leadership selves. What are some of the key principles and strategies that guide your coaching and consulting services?
Yeah. So in terms of the coaching services, my first premise is everybody, and I do mean everybody, needs a coach.
Mm.
That's first and foremost. And so I'm specifically trained in a couple different methodologies, and the heart of it is focusing on the soul before you focus on the goal. Another way to say that is focusing on the human being, not the human doing.
So
in the work that I do, I try to make sure that folks are very clear about a sense of self, sense of the saboteurs, sense of all of those things that I talked about earlier, their strengths, their superpowers, their saboteurs, but then how are they being, you know? So I really, again, I want to focus on this part about the human being, because we're not called human doing, we're called human being. So how do we help folks be and do at the same time? And I provide them with strategies that help them get unstuck, that help them get the mist off of the mirror, that help them remove their foot off the gas and the brake at the same time, to help them solve some of the more complex, I call them Rubik's Cube problems.
Oh, yeah.
I do role play, but it really is about tapping into the affective and the cognitive, because we know that we can inspire transformation more effectively and more, I guess, more quickly connecting the emotional pieces to the cognitive pieces, the being pieces, the affective pieces to the cognitive pieces.
Love it. It sounds like you're spot on. How can folks get a hold of you, Dr. Buchanan? Those that may be listening that say, you know what, I think I need to reach out to this guy. How are you able to be contacted? If you could share that as we close.
Absolutely. And again, thank you for the opportunity. I can be contacted through LinkedIn, Dr. E.M.P. Buchanan, Instagram, MIA Education Group, also on Facebook, E.M. Buchanan. Also, my website, which is www.miaeducationgroup.org, miaeducationgroup.org, or by email, E-M-I-A-N, my name, at miaeducationgroup.org. So there are multiple ways to contact me. If you just Google Ian Buchanan, because if you Google Ian Buchanan, it's going to show this white guy who used to be on The Young and Restless. So not that guy. But if you Google Ian Buchanan St. Louis, then all of my contact information will pop up as well.
I see we got some mutual contacts too on LinkedIn. I just sent you a request. Very nice to meet you, Dr. Buchanan. I do plan on staying in contact offline. So this has been awesome. Thank you for being the best part of Black Wall Street today. I definitely want to highlight a number of things that are pertinent to things that are taking place in this community. Black Wall Street today is an arm or an extension of Black Brand. We are Hampton Roads Regional Black Chamber of Commerce. And as I said last week, this is info session season. So for those of you that are reaching out to myself, to our program managers and other staff to learn how you can get involved as a participant or as a member, this is 100% the season to get that information. So perhaps you're looking just for a new association. You're looking to increase your access to opportunity. You're looking to increase your access to promotion opportunity. You're looking to expand your network. I want to invite you to consider coming on as a member of Black Brand. And you can do that by visiting our website. Again, that's blackbrand.biz. We will host a membership week at the end of this month where you'll be able to get all the details on the value that we offer to our members. But maybe you're somebody that's saying, I need a program. I really need to either strengthen my skills or I need to go a bit deeper in terms of what it means to be an entrepreneur. I'm going to give you a couple of different options. If you are a nonprofit, particularly if you're a nonprofit that has a specialization in economic mobility or affordable housing, I want to invite you to attend an info session for Impact Collective. At that time, you'll be able to gain information about an 8-week program that's really designed to strengthen you as an executive director and to transform your nonprofit. So in 8 weeks, we're going to take you through board governance pieces. We're going to talk about mission clarity and how to articulate your impact. We're going to talk about how to access funding that's available here locally in order to grow your nonprofit. And at the end of that 8 weeks, not only are you going to have a new network, you're also going to be $2,500 richer toward the service of your nonprofit activity. So we certainly look forward to seeing you there. If you're a nonprofit leader and you've got programs, again, that are focused either on economic mobility or affordable housing. Maybe you're looking to start a business this year. You've got a solid business idea. You're looking to start a business, or perhaps you're a young business owner. You really want to learn more about business itself. You're already an expert in the thing that you do, the product that you provide, the service. You got that down to a T, but you understand that there's a gap as it relates to business ownership. We want to put you through a 12-week curriculum, our Surge Community Business Academy. You're going to leave with a manual, but more than that, you're going to leave with that practical know-how as to how to actually operate that business. So I want to invite you, if that's you, to visit our website and learn more about our Surge Community Business Academy. The spring sessions are happening in both the cities of Newport News as well as the city of Portsmouth. You can learn more about what's coming up and online for that program, again, by visiting our website, blackbrand.biz. If you're somebody who says, you know what, I'm already established in business. I've been doing business for 2 years. I get business. I got this. But I don't understand how to scale what I'm doing. I really want to take it next level. I want to scale my product line. I want to scale my customer base. I want to scale my offering. I want to invite you to consider B-Force Accelerator and the opportunity to access capital for your company. That's what that program is designed to do. Really do a deep dive into those financials, help you prepare those financials to be able to talk to a banker or other financial entity in order to access capital and scale that company. Those info sessions are happening now through the end of the month. So definitely want to invite you to look there. And last but not least, you may be somebody who has heard about Women Who Lead. You know somebody who was a part of the program this past fall. You heard about the professional development journey. You heard about the sisterhood. You learned about the exposure to the assets in this region, the job opportunities that are available. You learned about the grant. You learned about the mentorship that was provided, and you say, you know what? I want to be a part of that. Good news for you, Black Brand's partnership with Norfolk State University. We are returning with that program this spring as well. You can get more information by visiting our website. There are 5 info sessions that are coming online. We'd love to see you there and get you enrolled in Women Who Lead. All right, that is an up-to-date. I just want to bring you all up to speed on what's happening with the organization. And I want to thank you for tuning in to Black Wall Street Today, where we are building minds, we're building connections, and we're forging the path ahead toward business success in the Black community.
This episode was brought to you by Positive Vibes Consulting. That's positivevibesconsulting.com. If you're a business owner and the bank said no, we may have a solution for you. Let's have a conversation. If you're a nonprofit organization, let's strategize and find ways for you to have continuous income while you're searching for donations and pursuing grants. That's positivevibesconsulting.com. A proud member of Black Brand.
Phenomenal. Stay with us online at Black Wall Street Today on Facebook and Black Wall Street Today on Instagram. And then follow us on Twitter as well at BWS Today. We look forward to talking again next week. Have a wonderful week. I have said and I will continue to say that the most important priority for the Black community is the Black community, not a particular political party.
Phenomenal. Hey, yo, when I say Black, you say Wall Street. Black, Black Wall Street. When I say Black, you say Wall Street. Black, Black. When I say Black, you say Wall Street. Black.